Thank you, Brother Holbury. At least you didn't do me quite as bad as I was done in Nassau earlier this year. I was speaking at a conference in Nassau. They sent me a schedule that said I would start speaking at 8:15 and end at 9 o'clock. I went all prepared for that. Unfortunately, they didn't turn the service over to me until 9:05. And so I said to them, but I certainly wouldn't say to you, "Brethren, I've come a long way. I've spent many hours in this, and I'm going to preach tonight." And I did. It's been a privilege to be with you. This is our last Sunday evening. We've enjoyed our stay tremendously. A privilege to share the Word of God. Tonight, as time permits, I'd like to speak to you from the 15th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 11, and for the sake of time, I will just read a couple verses from that. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion or the share of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his estate. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" We'll stop there. I'm sure the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have to share your precious word. We pray this evening that the words that may go forth may be thine and thine alone. For we know that we're reminded from your word, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We pray that even right now the precious Holy Spirit may take complete control. And we shall give you the praise, the honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Usually from this passage of Scripture, we look at one who has gone away from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is descriptive of that. Tonight we want to consider those who have gone away from the Lord. Those of you who might be here in our service tonight who may have never made a commitment in your lives to the Lord, and we want to include you in this as well. If I had to give a description to what I want to say tonight, I would probably call it, it's inventory time. It's inventory time. We're all familiar with that word, take an inventory. We take inventory of our businesses. We count and determine whether we're advancing or whether we're going backwards, whether we're losing everything. I'm sure that there are many of us that have been involved in this many times in our lives. And sometimes it's quite difficult. There are those that own their own businesses, and after the inventory has been taken, many others had to review our practices and policies in our businesses. We had to make drastic changes, hard decisions, in order to survive and carry on. You know, there are many times in your life and in mine that we're faced with such difficult decisions. There comes a time when we arrive at a crossroad in our lives. And when we arrive at that crossroad in our lives, then it's inventory time. Then it is time that we ask ourselves these questions. What is my life all about? If you haven't been there, you will get there someday. What is my life all about? Where am I going? What am I doing? Is my life worth living? What is it that I need to change in my life in order to survive? In order to live a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of happiness, a life that's rewarding, a life that is different than I now live. What is it that I need to do? Perhaps you've already asked yourself that question. Perhaps you've answered it already. But we must at some time or the other in our lives make some serious changes if we desire a life of reward when we come to the end of life's journey. There is a reward. We're going to be rewarded one way or the other when we come to the end of life. And we determine down here what that reward will be. This young man that we read of this evening in this passage of Scripture here in the 15th chapter of Luke, he found himself in a situation such as this. The Bible says in verse 15 that he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and the citizen sent him into his fields to feed swine. He found himself in Bahamian terms in the pig pen. The pig pen of his life was the lowest point that one could possibly sink in life. I believe that with all my heart. I don't believe that you can go much further in life, if any further at all, than what is described here as feeding the swine, as living in the pig pen, the lowest point of his life. And so, as we read these scriptures, we see that he now begins to take inventory of his life. And it wasn't good. It was not good. As he sat there feeding those swine, he began to consider his life. He began to consider the things of his life, what he had, where he had come from, the monies that he had, the food, the nice bed, the nice home, the family. And when he considered it all and put it all together, the bottom line of his life was now nothing. Absolutely nothing. He had nothing on the plus side of his life. He had suffered great loss. And the question he asked himself was, and I pray that if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ as your Savior, it might be yours as well, why am I here? Why am I in the condition of my life such as this? Why? What has happened? Where did I go wrong? The Scripture says he came to himself. He realized for the first time in his life that he had nothing. He had no family, no friends, no money, no food. Just the pigs. Feeding the pigs. He had absolutely no profit at all. Perhaps tonight you can take a quick inventory of your life as you sit here. And you can ask yourself these questions. What do I have? And perhaps you can say, yes, I have a family. I have friends. I have money. But my question to you tonight is, do you have peace of mind? Do you have joy in your heart? Do you have happiness? Can you sleep at nights? Or are you constantly worried about your life and where it's going? These are the things that you must realize. We must realize that we have nothing to rely on. Nothing that's profitable for eternity. And hopefully tonight, you will ask yourself this question. What can I do to change? What can I do to change? What can I do with my life that will put me in a position that I can enjoy my life and all of the things that God has given to me? Let's consider this young man, as we look at verses 11 through 12, he said, the young man said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. You see, he thought only of himself. Nobody else.
He thought only of his personal goods. He wanted what was his. He had no concern about his father. He had no concern about his brother or anyone else around him. He just wanted his, and he wanted it now. He wanted to make his mark on society. He wanted to go out into the world. He wanted to see what was happening out there. It was all his way. He put no thought into the future. He put no thought into what a day might bring forth. Do we put thought into our future? Have you put any thought into what a day might bring forth in your life? Perhaps many of us here have experienced days in our lives or days in others' lives that have been dramatic and drastic. And we've seen that in just moments, one's life can be changed completely forever. And that's why it's important that we put thought into our lives. Thought about today. Not about the future. We're not promised tomorrow, the scripture says, but it is the life that we live today that matters. I think in Abaco, where we live, I've seen a lot of this over the years. I think God has spoken very strongly, particularly to the young people in that island. We've had some terrible accidents, things happen. I conducted the funeral of a young man. I'd known him all my life. He was in construction work. He went to work that morning, and they had poured solid slabs of concrete to be put into a building. As the crane was lifting that slab of concrete, he stood on the inside helping it up. The chain broke, and he was smashed to death instantly. He never dreamed that that day would bring forth. I know of another one that was driving home at midnight. He was in excess of 100 miles an hour in his vehicle, and it left the road completely. It flew off into the pine trees on the other side, and he was thrown out. I don't know exactly how far, but when they found him, his neck had been broken. He died instantly. He was not expecting that, what a day would bring forth. And I can go on and on. And these things are reminders to us that we need to be mindful of our future. But we need to be mindful of this day that we live. We have the opportunity to make it right with God. As far as I know, these that I'm talking about never had a chance. They went out from time into eternity without Jesus Christ. An awful story, but they're real. They're real, and it can happen to any of us at any time in our life. And this is why we need to be mindful of what today would bring forth. We see this young man in verses 13 and 14. His possessions are gone. The scripture says he spent all that he had. He wasted it with substance, with riotous living. He spent all. You know, there's a saying, a fool and his money is soon parted, and that's true. They had great times as long as he had money. He had friends as long as he had money. But when he had spent it all, he had nothing left. No friends, no food, nothing. He was all on his own. And that's the way we have to consider it. We're on our own, my friends. No matter what we may have, we are on our own, and we are going to stand one day before God, and we're going to give an account of our own personal lives, not anybody else. But each of us, we must prepare our hearts. We must prepare to meet God. He never dreamed he would be in want. He never dreamed when he left home that he would find himself feeding swine. He felt that he was in control of his life. He felt that he can do everything that he wanted to do. He had a pocket full of money. He was a young man, and he could go on in life and enjoy it to its fullest. That's great.
But there is coming a day when you will come to the crossroads of your life. And you must ask yourself the question, who am I? What am I living for? What are you living for tonight? What are you living for? What is the most important thing in your life? My life. What is it we see out there that's worth living for? I can tell you tonight, my friends, in the personal experience of my own life, I see nothing out there worth living for other than living for Jesus Christ. Because I know that when I come to the end of my life, He's going to be there. Because there came a time in my own life, and perhaps there are many of you here that can say the same thing, when we came to the crossroads of life and we realized that we needed to ask ourselves the question, who am I? What am I living for? Where am I going? We need to do something about it. You need to do something about it. Many people live their lives as if there is no God, as if there is no tomorrow. They just live their lives feeling that they have it made, they have many friends, they have good times. But one day all of this will run out. It will run out. It will come to an end. And you have no one, nothing to turn to. This young man found himself in the same condition. It all ran out on him. He had no one to turn to. Unfortunately, there are many today, and the statistics are staggering. The lives of young people that come to these points in their lives, when they've tried everything that they possibly can, and they've done all they've been, they've said, and they've come to that point in their lives where they feel, what is life worth living for? And they've committed suicide. That's not the answer. The Bible says a fool will die before his time. That's not the answer. Because you go out from time into a lost eternity, into a lake of fire, the Bible says, to torment forever and ever. The answer is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. This young man found emptiness in his inventory. It was all vanity. As we read through the scriptures, the great man Solomon, he realized this one day. Solomon, the Bible says, was the richest man and the wisest man that ever lived. But after having it all, he wrote these words, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. He realized that all that he knew and all that he had was not important. The most important thing in his life was to know God. That's a message that I bring this evening. The most important thing in our lives is to know God, to make a commitment in our lives to Him, to come to that point in our lives where we realize that we need Him more than anything in life. And you need to do it now. You need to do it now. In Luke 18, we read the story, I think it was Sunday before last, of the rich man who provided for himself everything. God had blessed him abundantly. He pulled down his old barns, he built new barns, and he said, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. We're going to live it up. And God said, that night, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and whose shall those things be? Now, we need to make that decision now, today. Not put it off. Not to say, give me what is mine. I can handle it. Like so many people say, I don't need God in my life. I'm getting along just fine. I do what I want. I say what I want. I go where I want. But my friends, listen, God is there and you're going to meet Him someday. You're not in control of your life. God is. And that's why He gives every one of us an opportunity. That's why He will bring every one of us to a point in our lives. It will become the crossroads of life and we will make a decision. And tonight, if you're here without Jesus Christ and you haven't made a decision, you're going to make one before you leave this building. And that decision will either be to commit your life to Jesus Christ or to turn your back on Him and walk out and say, no, I'm on my hold. I'm going to do what I want. Thank God for those of us that are in this service tonight who realized that we needed the Lord Jesus Christ. For those in this service who came to ourselves as this young man did. The scripture says he came to himself. He found himself in the pig pen of his life, at the lowest point of his life, and he realized that he needed something better. Oh, dear friends, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, you need to realize that there is something better. You need more than you have. You need more than friends. You need more than money. You need more than having good times in life. You need to find Christ as your personal Savior. Because tomorrow may never come. Because now is the opportunity. This young man, as we look at the scripture, he realized all of this. He came to himself, the scripture says. He said, what am I doing here with nothing when I can go back home in verse 17? He says, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He didn't say like some will do, oh, I'm just as good as anybody else. I'll get along just fine. No, he realized that he needed to go back home. He needed to go back to his father. He needed to go back to the one that loved him, the one that could provide for him, the one that he left behind with a broken heart. And that's what you need to do tonight if you're here without Jesus Christ, because He loves you. He has all that you need. He can supply every need in your life. He can give you hope. He can give you joy. He can give you a peace that passeth all understanding that you can't find in the things of life. But you have to determine within yourself that it's time to go home. It's time to come home. Come home to the one who loves you. You need to pick yourself up and do as he did in verses 18 through 24. And he said, I will arise and I will go to my father's house and I will ask for forgiveness. I just want to be home. I just want to be home. Thank God tonight for home. Home where God is. Home where we can find the peace of mind. And tonight the invitation is extended to come home. Come home to God. Give Him your life. Give Him your all. Give Him your heart. He knows all about you already, but He wants you to come home. He has sufficient there to meet every need in life. In verse 20, we find that he began to go home. It says, and he arose and he came to his father's house. But notice this. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. There was a father waiting there who never stopped loving him. I believe that father had a broken heart from the day that son left home. He loved him dearly. He prayed every day for that son to come back home. I believe he stood out just outside the door of his home, just looking down that road every day that that son was away, longing for that son to come home. Tonight, Jesus Christ is standing on the portals of heaven's glory, and he's looking down through the universe of time, and he's looking into this building this afternoon or this evening, and he's saying to those of you that are here without Christ, why don't you come home? I love you with an everlasting love. I gave my all. I gave my life for you. Come home.
And you can guarantee, just as that father ran to meet that son and threw his arms of love about him and embraced him and said, "Welcome home, son," the Lord Jesus Christ will do the self-same thing for you as he has done for so many of us. He will put his arms of love about you. He will forgive you of your past, the scripture says. He will put it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be recalled again. And he will change your life. Change your life. Oh, beloved friends, let me say to you this evening, there is nothing like a changed life. A life that has been changed by Jesus Christ, not by man. We can't change anything. At the end of the year, so many times we talk about turning over a new leaf, making a change in our lives, and before the new day comes of the new year, we've already gone back to the self-same thing. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy. Only He can change your heart and your life. Only He can make you what you ought to be and nobody else. But you have to come to that point, as I close this evening, as this young man did. You have to come to yourself and realize that all that I am and all that I have and all that I ever will be is of no value to me until I find Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Until I come home, determine in my heart that there is a Father that loves me. One waiting, watching, longing for me to come home and take that first step. And you will find that if you take that first step to Jesus, He'll already be there waiting for you. Waiting to hold your hand, waiting to forgive you of your past, waiting to give you a new life. A life everlasting for time and all eternity. Won't you accept Him tonight as your personal Savior? Won't you just stop, pick yourself up, and come home to Jesus for His name's sake. Amen. I wonder, as we bow in prayer this evening, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder if there might be one of you here tonight, and you're at the crossroad of your life, and you've asked yourself many times, "Who am I? What am I doing? Where am I going?" And you can't give yourself a positive answer because you don't have one. Tonight, Jesus Christ can satisfy. He can give you what you need. If you'd like for us to remember you in prayer, would you lift your hand? If there's one here tonight, you'd like for us to remember you in prayer, would you lift your hand? Say, "Yes, I want to commit my life to Jesus Christ. I want Him to change me, to make me into the person that He wants me to be." Father, we thank You this evening for this time that we've been able to share Your precious word. We thank You for this beautiful picture of this young man who came to himself at the lowest point of his life and realized that he needed to go home. Oh God, I pray tonight that if there are those in this building who have not yet come home, that they may realize that they need to come home, come to Jesus Christ. Come now, without delay. There is death, there is danger, down the road of life. May they do so, we pray, before it be too late. In the name of Jesus we ask it. Amen. I wonder if we can sing, in closing, hymn number 133, just the first verse and the chorus. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away? 133, first verse and chorus, and the service will be over. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Perhaps we can stand as we sing.